sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, everyone. Steve Jones Show on this Friday. John U. Bacon, author of Fourth and Long, The Fight for the Soul of College Football, joins us in the next hour. Mark Silverman, the president of Beat, in the final half hour of the show. Next half hour, Penn State men's ice hockey coach Guy Gadowski. They sold out their tickets, believe it or not, in a whopping total of 3 minutes for the students. Student tickets win 3 minutes. Unbelievable. We'll talk to him in the next half hour. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the weekend, people. It is the Big Ten opener with Rutgers tomorrow night. You want to make sure you're fully stocked, right? You should go out and take care of it tonight before a high school football game is played, where you know you have all of your snacks, where you know you have all your soft drinks, your fresh hot roasted peanuts, the pickle bar. And by the way, when it comes time to get home, also make sure you're fully stocked at home with the best in beer, imported domestics, microbrews, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, which is 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And another car for Kevin this week. This time he went Lincoln on us. I'll tell you more about that later in the show. Looking forward to that. All right. The State College Spikes, for the first time ever, won the New York Penn League Championship as they defeated Tri-City in the third and deciding game of the New York Penn League Championship Series Tuesday night, 11-2. The manager of the State College Spikes is Ollie Marmel, who managed them for the second straight year. Ollie, welcome. It is great to hear you.
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Well, things come together in a certain way, and every team, and in minor league baseball, the old saying that every team takes on its own personality, minor league baseball, it's absolutely true because the personnel turns over so much. So what was the personality of this team, and when did you identify that personality?
It was tough, especially compared to the last group we had last year. I mean, this group came together well. They were a loose group. They didn't panic a whole lot, and they found a way to kind of battle their way through some wins. Didn't come easy, and there were some stretches there. It was a little tough, but it was a good group, mentally tough group, but it was definitely fun.
Did they have to find a new identity or a new confidence offensively when Rowan Wick moved from State College to Peoria?
No doubt. Rowan Wick did obviously a tremendous job while he was with us and carried us for a while there. And once he left, certain guys, we had conversations with them, and they're going to have to fill that role and really step up. And I think not one person filled that role, but collectively they did a nice job of putting some good ABs together and scoring some runs as a group.
They went through the one slump, and that was in early August. What turned it around to get them back on track after that slump? Every team will go through one, but that was a pretty extensive one for a period of time.
Yeah, it felt like it was about 3 months long there for a second. It was tough, and we had some guys that really stepped up and spoke to the group and really took on some leadership roles. So it was nice to see guys like Nielsen and De Leon step up in those situations. And the group was going through a tough time. But we were really just trying to get to that day off, rest the guys, and then come back and give it a go, and that's exactly what happened.
Josh Lucas was brought back to the club in August. You had Kyle Grannon, who made the All-Star team, and Nick Lomascola on the left side. Did it get to a certain point where you felt like you were playing six-inning games?
Absolutely. The three names that you just mentioned were key. Once we got Lomascola there in the seventh, and then Lucas in the eighth, and Grannon in the ninth, I felt like if we had the lead going into that, we were good to go. Those guys did an unbelievable job and pitched out of some really tough jams. They really performed well down the stretch. Having Lucas back down was huge for us in winning that championship.
Tony La Russa, in his the way he managed over time was that he would get to big games and he would want to put his best offensive lineup on the team, on the field. You win 81 games, and you move things around here and there. And then in game 82, the final game, your batting order dramatically changed. Discuss the rationale behind what you did and what gut instinct sent you in that direction.
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what, I didn't sleep at all the night before because I knew I was going to switch it up, and I went back and forth with how to, and I finalized the lineup by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember my wife looking at me and said, will you be able to live with it the whole offseason if it doesn't pan out? And I said, yes, there's the guys I want to go with, and I'm going to take my shot with these 9 guys, and I'm glad it worked out because they came out swinging.
At the end of the top of the first inning, I mean, you still have 27 outs to get, but in terms of the lineup part of it, did you feel a little bit better about the decision?
I did. Once I like drove that ball to left field and Wiley hit the ball down the left field, I had Cruz. I started a little bit more comfortable with the decision than as the game panned out. Add on some runs. I felt really good about it. But the credit goes to those guys. They're the ones that stepped in the box and really just good at bats and didn't have for us.
From a manager's point of view, you build up a lead in a game like that. Now, in a game, every game in the playoff was a 3-0, 2-0, 2-1 game. So every pitch, the tension was there. What was it like managing a game where you're in front knowing that there's no clock? What was it like for you inning by inning? Could it go by fast enough?
Man, it was – the nerves were still there. I was looking back at one of the games that Johnson City had in the playoffs, and they scored early and then gave up a 9 spot halfway through the game. And that's the one thing that kept going through my mind. And Reyes came in and made sure the guys were on the same page. And he said, hey, let's continue to play this ballgame as if it was 0-0. And that's exactly what they did. The enthusiasm and the aggression, everything was still there every inning, whether we were up by 6 or up by 11. Those guys were playing as if it was a 1-run ballgame. And that's important in the playoffs. Those guys never let up. They kept the pedal down until the last out, and then they were able to enjoy it.
Actually, when you scored the run to make it 7-0, I remember saying on the broadcast I thought it was an important run because it showed that you were still attacking.
You nailed it right there. When we scored the 7th run, you never want to feel like you've won the ball game because there's a lot of ball to play. I like that run that went ahead and put them down for the count.
Yeah. Have the Cardinals talked to you yet about what your plans should be for next year, or is that going to be in limbo for you?
It'll be in limbo for a while. Usually they communicate that stuff to us halfway towards the end of instructional league, and that's where I'm headed right now. So within the next 3 weeks or so, that'll be a little bit more clear as far as what my plans will be for next year, return to state college or whatever they have in mind. But it's been fun, and whatever they have in mind, I'm ready for.
Where have you grown as a manager? I mean, this is something where you go through and you build on things that you are comfortable with and become your strengths, but at the same time make adjustments when you say, okay, well, I could have done that part better. Where do you think you're a better manager now?
I would say and 2 things come to mind. 1 is trust in my staff. I feel like early on you want to have a handle on everything, and it's important to kind of tap into your staff and make sure that you're weighing in all your options, and they have a really good idea of the heartbeat of the club as well. So trusting them in certain situations has been really important for me this year. One of the key things. And another thing is just taking responsibility for whether I make a move or don't make a move. And at times you can be timid as far as making a move and it not panning out the way you thought, but going ahead and going with your gut, and if it works out, great. Give the guys credit for it, and if it doesn't, go ahead and take the blame and move on.
A couple of people said, wow, they had 6 more games this year. In the Cardinal organization, how important was it to win it? And number 2, what do you learn about players in a playoff situation that you might not learn in a July game?
That's a good question. I think the best times and the easiest times to evaluate talent are in tough situations, and those came in the playoffs for us. It's easy to evaluate guys and what they're made of, and then that stretch where we lost a good bit of games in a row, you really find out about a player. So those 2 points throughout the season are very important for us come evaluation period.
and how important in the Cardinals organization is the winning component?
That's one thing. There's a winning culture at St. Louis. It's very important to us. And obviously at the minor league level, it's about development, but we want to develop winning players. And I think the two go hand in hand.
Ollie, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for everything all summer long, your first class all the way, and I wish you nothing but the best because you deserve the best.
Steve, I really appreciate it. Enjoyed working with you day in, day out. You're the best, and I'll definitely keep in touch.
Appreciate it, my friend. Safe trip down, right, safe trip down to Jupiter, all 19 hours.
I appreciate it. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Ollie Marvel, the manager of the State College Spikes. 2 years here. And in the 2 years, he ended up winning 105 games in minor league baseball in short season, where they had played, State College has played a grand total of 164 games. They won 105 over the two-year span. It's not bad. And they've developed some players that'll move up through the ladder. There's certain guys that you look at on this team. And we saw Rowan Wick hit the 14 home runs here in a 4 or 5 week span. But he's not the only one. I think Nick Thompson's going to move up in the Cardinals system. I can see a couple of pitchers, Daniel Ponce de Leon being one, Will Anderson being another. The relievers that we referenced in Josh Lucas, Nick Lomascola, Kyle Granite. They were niche guys. And you look at a guy like Nick Lomascola, for example. I could see him moving up as an 7th, 8th inning setup left-handed guy who comes at you from the side. And when you look at the players that have gone through State College, the players that have gone through State College include the likes of Alan Craig, Brock Holt, Gregory Polanco, Tony Watson. I mean, those are some of the names. You know, Jordy Mercer. They've all come through State College. That's what it means. And we can give you the long list at Williamsport of the Phillies that have gone through here. In fact, some of the key guys for Philadelphia moving forward that are at Double and Triple A right now, all starting in Williamsport. And that's the part that there's certain guys that I've watched in the Philly system. I thought Cesar Hernandez really good. I like Sebastian Valle a lot. There's a kid that they had this year named David Whitehead, who was 1 year removed from Tommy John surgery, and I thought he pitched brilliantly for Williamsport this year. He will move through the Philly system without question. Giandito Trump had an excellent year. He had 14 home runs. The oddity with him is all 14 of his home runs with Williamsport this year were all hit at home. And that's not an easy park to hit home runs. And he plays center field. Cort Sandberg, I thought, got better this year. He's the third round pick of the Phillies a year ago. Cort Sandberg was a better player this year for them. Maybe it tailed off a little bit near the end, but I thought he played well. Yan Hernandez, who was the other third round pick a year ago, actually hit a slump offensively and did not hit over 200. Coming down the stretch the last month. So he's shown some pretty good signs early, but down the stretch really struggled a bit. I don't know if he had injuries or what the problem was, but those are the two third-round picks from a year ago. Just to give you a real feel for the Phillies prospects that are playing that played this year at Williamsport. Rhys Hoskins, the first baseman out of Sacramento State, another guy, good power, good around the bag. And he bears some watching to see how far he can move in the Philly system as well. Guy Gadowski, Penn State men's hockey coach, coming up next. Then John Bacon, author of Fourth and Long, The Fight for College Football's Soul. He'll be in the 4 o'clock half hour. Final half hour, Mark Silverman, president of Big Ten Network, bottom of the hour. And news coming up. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Steve Jones Show on a Friday. If it's Friday, that means it's time to stock up for the weekend. That means Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Yes, imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention Brewers Outlet has lots of brew, lots of beer? Best selection in the area, no question about it. Also, make sure you stock up on soft drinks. They have a great selection there. They roast their peanuts every day. Snacks. And, of course, the pickle bar. I love the barrel pickles. Love them. Can't get enough. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's been driving, by the way, a Lincoln this week. He had to turn that in. Tell you more about that car a little bit later. And then next week, we'll tell you a lot more about the next vehicle Kevin's going to be driving. Sunbury Motors. Sales staff, outstanding. They want to know what your price range is. They want to know what your needs happen to be. So budget and needs important. Then they'll find just the right vehicle for you. And don't forget the service department. Whether it's routine maintenance or something more extensive, they can handle it with complete ease, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15, Ian Hummel's Wharf. Steelers got throttled last night, 26-6. And there's nothing more entertaining than to sit there and watch the game and get repeated texts from Kevin, upset about Todd Haley, upset about officiating calls, and just plain upset. It's actually a game unto itself when Kevin texts me left and right. But obviously, they didn't play well at all last night. Baltimore really owned that game from start to finish. And think about it now. The last six quarters of football, the Steelers have scored 9 points. The last six quarters of football, the Steelers have been outscored 50-9. 50-9 in the last six quarters. That is not inspiring after the incredible start they got off to against Cleveland. Second half, not great. They were able to come back and win. And then the Ravens last night took them apart 26-6. So not a good start. Penn State Rutgers coming up tomorrow. Really, you look at the games on tap for the weekend. And this is not exactly a marquee weekend. Usually weekend four is normally mediocre, lousy. I mean, the games he had. Now, West Virginia, Maryland tomorrow, not bad. All right, that's not bad. That's the noon game coming up tomorrow. Pitt's at Florida International. East Carolina's at Virginia Tech. Georgia Southern's at Georgia Tech. A Louisville, Virginia, okay, not bad. Georgia at South Carolina, very good. Arkansas at Texas Tech. Iowa State at Iowa, you get Kansas at Duke. Miami of Ohio's at Michigan. Bring that up with John Bacon next half hour. Illinois tomorrow's at Washington. All right, that's not bad. Minnesota's at TCU. Southern Miss is at Alabama. Notre Dame has a night game at Purdue. That's the primetime game tomorrow on NBC. Tennessee at Oklahoma is the ABC game. UCLA at Texas. Rice at Texas A&M. And, of course, Penn State Rutgers. So those are the games coming up tomorrow that make the cut television-wise. And again, Rice at Texas A&M is on ESPN2. UCLA against Texas is on Fox, and Texas was terrible last week. Tennessee at Oklahoma on ABC. Notre Dame at Purdue on NBC. And Penn State Rutgers on BTN. More on the Penn State Rutgers coming up and what BTN is going to do. Mark Silverman, the president of BTN, is going to join us in the final half hour of the show to talk about the network, its coverage, and the game that they have coming up tomorrow night, Penn State Rutgers. Penn State, I think, is about as ready as they can be. And I've got a feeling the defense is going to play really well in this game. Just a gut. All right. We'll shift gears for a moment. We're going to talk men's ice hockey. Last year at Pagola Ice Arena, a great story took place in having every game sold out. A young hockey team that got better and better and better and played its best hockey at the end of the year, and they have almost everybody back. They put student season tickets, Guy Godowski, on sale this week. They sold out in 3 minutes.
Isn't that awesome? Did you hear? I am so thrilled to hear that. I mean, 3 minutes, the student section sold out in 3 minutes. It speaks so much about how great our student body is. We just love playing in front of them. They make such a great atmosphere. And for them to sell out in 3 minutes, I mean, that says a lot about Penn State and the support that they give their sports programs. It's just awesome.
The way that end is designed, and it also happens to be the end where the opposing goalie is in the first and third.
By accident. We didn't just by accident, Steve.
I have to give you credit. I mean, sometimes you fall into good situations. Okay? But the way that's designed, the verticality of it and them standing, what kind of effect does that have in the noise of the building because of the design?
Yeah, it's great. Well, that was right from the start. I mean, Terry Pegula wanted the rockingest arena in college hockey, and he wanted that student section to be as steep as code will allow, and he got both. I mean, it really makes it extremely imposing, and it makes it fun. Like, it's imposing for, as you say, the goaltender. Obviously, that was a very conscious decision to put it there, but it's very imposing for him, but it's also, it just makes it so much fun. I mean, we're looking towards that end so often, and just to see the sea of Penn State students dancing and singing and all of them dressed up. It's awesome. So, I mean, 3 minutes, that's pretty incredible.
It is incredible. Now give us an idea at this time of the year exactly what your players are doing because the season isn't that far off.
Yeah, sure. They've been skating and working out from day one that they got on campus. Just the coaching staff is restricted as to how many hours that we can be with them. But we have great leadership on this team, and as I said, they love playing in front of the student body, and so they're very hungry to improve, and they've been working very hard on their own a part of the time when the coaches cannot be with them.
All right. Once you get to camp, what are some things you want to accomplish initially, and because there is greater familiarity between coaching staff and returning players, do you expect to be ahead of the curve in terms of the teaching part?
Well, the goal is to be ahead of the curve because if you remember last year, I mean, we came so far during the season. We improved so much. And again, a big reason for that was just how much fun it is to play in front of the student body and us looking forward to getting back to Pagula. But we came so far. So it's not like we're looking, you asked at what we're focusing on right away. It's not like we have these two areas that we have to improve. We want to keep improving. We want to continue where we ended up last year because we had such vast improvement, really tremendous, and this the results we got, I think, were really unexpected from a national level. What we did, you know, on a national level is pretty surprising. So we just want to continue the process. That's all we want to do is continue the process.
Yeah, the product we saw in October, then to January, February, and then into March, each one was a different and improved product across the board. If you had to pinpoint an area that maybe made its greatest improvement to solidify your product, what would it be?
Well, it's all-encompassing, but by far the entire team bought into what we had to do at the highest level. So sometimes that we had success the year before, we played a lot of different levels of hockey. We actually had the second hardest strength of schedule in the entire nation last year. And it had actually, I think it helped us at the end because we played, you know, Boston College twice, Union twice, who won the national championship, UMass Lowell, obviously Minnesota, who lost to Union national championship four times. But it takes a lot of consistency, and it takes a high-quality game. You just can't go out and play, you know, pond hockey against these teams. You really have to play a tremendous team game, and I think that the fact that all the guys just bought in and they finally all pulled the same way is when we really saw our improvement. So to answer your question, the biggest factor was everybody pulling the same way together.
Did you find some combinations, whether line combinations or defensive combinations, where you walked out of the season and thought, if I stick in that direction, we're in good shape?
I think so. If you look at it, when you say that, the number one thing that comes to mind is Patrick Kaladice and David Thompson.
Yes.
They're both big 6'3" tough guys that are really hard to play against. I think defensively they really came after the second half, really established themselves as the pairing that you didn't want to see if you're the opposing forwards. And so that was something that their chemistry works very well together. One's a righty, one's a lefty. They both have similar ways of looking at the game in terms of being hard to play against without taking a lot of penalties. So I think when you ask that question, the biggest factor that comes to mind is Patrick Kaladice and David Thompson.
The decision to go to Fairbanks, which, of course, is part of your coaching DNA, so you are familiar with it. It's always going to hold a special place for you. Also, that's a long trip.
Yes.
I think I just experienced a long trip myself. Mm-hmm. But that's a long trip, multiple time zones, not an easy area to get to. What entered into the decision to take the team there, and how you crafted the schedule around it?
The biggest decision, this is you can credit Bill Downey for this. The biggest factor for this is actually because the games are exempt, we get to play two more games at Pagoula Ice Arena.
Right.
And that is the biggest reason for it. Financially, it's great for us. We sell out and do, and it's such a great show, and it's just so much fun to play. We get two extra games, so it's win-win that way. You're right. I mean, I've done this. When I coached up there, we were in the CCHA, which was Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, etc. So every time we went on the road, we were going four time zone, and it is not easy. So I've done it a lot. I know it's not easy, but it is worth it because they've got a good team, and it's worth it because we get two more games at Pagoula Ice Arena, and that we just love.
Right, and you know, and that's why when people, and this is the same concept that's used in basketball. You know, Penn State plays in the Charleston tournament this year. Well, that also is exempt in a couple of games. That's how you can pick up games 30 and 31 on your schedule. That gives you more to work with and gives you a better evaluation to your club. The Big Ten conference part of it. We talked last year about the Big Ten and the brand of the Big Ten. Now we've experienced it, seen it, and you've talked to others across the country and in Canada about it, Guy. Did it have the impact, the brand and BTN, that you thought it might?
No, absolutely. And especially north of the border, people are talking about college hockey more than they ever have. And you can absolutely credit the Big Ten for that and the Big Ten Network. And also the fact that they know that they are the monsters of college hockey. I mean, we only have six teams in our league right now, and three of them are in the top five of national championships won. So they really are the absolute monsters of college hockey. So their brand is very recognizable. Their alumni in the NHL are very recognizable, and because of that, this has been a great thing for college hockey.
Yeah, and no question about that. And when you look at the depth of college hockey right now, do you feel better about the depth of the number of not just quality teams, but also the number of quality players playing the game today than maybe even 10 years ago?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. If you brought up 10 years ago, I think there's a statistic that within the last 8 years, the number of NHL players that played college hockey has gone up 46%. Right. So when you talk about the depth, and especially to your second point, the number of great players coming out of college hockey now is vastly different than it was 10 years ago. So which means that every night that you come to Pagoule Ice Arena, you absolutely are seeing future NHL stars.
When you took over this job, I had brought up the point to you in questions about, hey, look, basically you're an expansion team, which then, of course, allowed you to talk about your process of being essentially a college expansion team. In your process on this particular day to revisit this question, how excited, energized are you as to how the process has played out?
Well, the results that we received, especially at the end of the year, and we talk about being energized, energizes this whole program, and I think our fans and our student body and HMA, who is, this is a hockey management association, I got to make a shout out to them because they had a lot to do with why we sold out in 3 minutes. Just everybody involved in this, from Pagoule Ice Arena to our marketing team, to everybody is just so excited of the results that we got yesterday by following the process. And I think we all understand, and certainly they do at a national level, that we're ahead of the curve right now. But to see those results, and then to have a result like we did this morning that we sell out in 3 minutes, it just continues to energize us to go into this season. I'm sure the players feel the exact same way, that we just want to get after it more than ever before.
What impact has it had in recruiting? Because now, instead of talking about the concept of Pagoule and what Pagoule might be like when it's filled up and so forth, now you have tangible results and a sale like this behind it. What does that mean on the recruiting trail?
It's going to mean a lot. I think that we will see the effects of it in the coming years for sure. Just like other sports, we're certainly starting to recruit early and earlier. But so a number of years down the line, I think you're going to see the results of all the hard work of and passion and excitement of the student body and the work that this program is doing. It is exciting, and we can't wait to do it. And I'm pretty sure that as the recruits, this is going to be good news for the people that are looking at Penn State and looking at the Big Ten. I want to play in the Big Ten. What teams make the most sense? For them to hear that the student section sold out in 3 minutes, I'm sure is a very big deal.
What kind of job have your assistants done working with players, recruiting, and also, you know, as teachers in all of this?
Well, the time they don't have a lot of time, put it that way. They've been incredible. As you know how much they are on the road and how difficult it has been in the last couple of years. When you have a program that no one really, you can't say this is what we have, you only say this is what we're going to have. It takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of travel. We're not in a place like Minnesota where you can travel 20 minutes outside your door and find, you know, a lot of NHL draft choices. So they've been all over North America and beyond. They've done it for 3 years now, and I think it's going to get easier for them. But as that happens, we want to get better and better in terms of the coaching aspect. So not only have they been on the road recruiting real hard, they want to make sure that they're putting everything they can into developing the young men that we have here now. And that's to your second point, you know, how much time they spend with the athletes that we have now. So I tell you what, they're phenomenal. The last few years for them has been a lot of hours, I can tell you that. They haven't spent a lot of time outside of the rink or outside of the road, but it's definitely going to pay off. And when you see something like we had today, that the student section sells out in 3 minutes, they know it's all worth it.
And you've also taken this your product on the road in the state. You've played around the state in the last 2 years. What benefit have you seen from that in terms of fan base?
Yeah, it's nice. We hear that. You know, it's funny. Whenever we go out, if we're out recruiting or you hear, or even at youth hockey games, I hear people from the state saying, geez, I got to see you in Wilkes-Barre. I saw you down in Wells Fargo rink. I saw you in the console tournament. So it's been really good. I think it's given a lot of, it's a tough ticket to get, obviously, here at Pagoule Ice Arena. So it gives a lot of our supporters and alumni an opportunity to see us on the road. And certainly we also have a lot of alumni in the New York area, and this year we're playing in Madison Square Gardens, which will be great again for alumni up there, and I think it's wonderful. We've been getting great feedback from it.
Guy, an absolute pleasure. Congratulations on the sale and how quickly it went and how energized the passion is around the program. You've helped make that happen. Congratulations.
Well, Steve, I'm just along for the ride with this great thing called Penn State, but thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
That's Guy Gadowski. Hockey coach, Penn State. That program it's taking off. It's taking off. And student tickets sold out in 3 minutes. Wow. Next half hour, John Bacon. He wrote the book, Fourth and Long, The Fight for the Soul of College Football. This from 2012 he wrote it, which looked at Ohio State, Northwestern, Michigan, and then, of course, more importantly for everyone in our area, Penn State. He was right there with Michael Motti, Michael Zordich, had access and put together an insider's view of what it was like when the program was in scramble mode following the word from the NCAA that severe sanctions had been levied. Sanctions, of course, the primary ones have been lifted this week. Not all of them. I mean, Joe Paterno, we know what a sore spot is with Penn State fans. That the 112 wins, 111 for Joe and one for Tom Bradley, have not been restored yet. Although yesterday in Center County Court, the ruling came down that the Paternos in their lawsuit against the NCAA can fight them. The lawsuit was given standing, and it also gives them a standing to challenge the consent decree, according to court documents. It was Judge John Leet's 39-page decision based on arguments made earlier this year in the case brought by the Paternos as well as four members of the Penn State Board of Trustees. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, which 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. News top of the hour, then John Bacon, Mark Silverman, BTN. Next hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.